We're on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom, Toshma. We had the Sugya of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Let's just remind ourselves, Rabbi Yirmiyah is of the opinion that the Malva finds amongst his possessions, amongst his shtaros, a shovar that indicates that a chov, he has another shtar chov against Reuven, and that in the shovar it says that Reuven repaid the chov. Rabbi Yirmiyah says we don't rely on the shovar, but rather we maintain the chezkas ha shtarchov, and the malva collects the shtarchov. The reason for that is Rabbi Yirmiyah assumes that if it's the malva who's in possession of the shovar, it means he had just prepared it to make sure that if and when the lova comes to pay his chov, he'll immediately entice him by offering him a shovar. But the shovar was never given over to the lova. The lova is the one who should be holding on to the shovar. He should be the baal hashtar. If the malva is holding on to the shovar, then it doesn't prove a thing. And it was just a commissioned shtar that was made in preparation, anticipation, but in fact the chov was never paid back. The Mishnah seems to assume that the malva should not maintain the chezkas shtar chov. He should not collect the chov. And the reason for that is because, as the Gemara interprets it based on Rav Safra, that's a case of Nimtza Bein Shtar Sakruim, which we explained in the previous shiur. Now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Shavuos. The case is where the Malva died, the Lova died, the Yorshe Malva coming to collect the Chov of their father from the Yorshe Lova, and the Yorshe HaMalva inherited the Shtar Chov. They're coming to collect based on the Shtar Chov. The halacha as established by the Gemara in Ksubis is that in such a case, the Yorshe HaMalva, in order to collect the Chov from the Yorshe HaLova based on the Shtar they inherited from their father, they must take a Shvua. And what is that Shvua? That Shvua has many parts to it. And those parts are explicated in the Mishnah in Shavuos Mem Hei, Shavuos Shelo Pakadnu Abba, meaning that our father did not tell us during his lifetime that the shtar was already paid up. V'shelo Amar Lanu Abba, that our father did not say anything that would indicate that this shtar is parua. V'shelo Matsanu Bein Shtarosav Shel Abba Sheshtar Zeh Parua. We didn't find any sort of a shovar receipt that would indicate that our father had already received payment for the Mishnah, and clearly, for the Chov, and clearly this Mishnah is indicative of the fact that if the Yisoma, the Malva, indeed found a Shovar that was amongst their father's possessions, they would have to fulfill that which, and they would be committed to the shovar itself, and they could not collect their chov. Whereas Rabbi Yirmiyah says that as long as the shovar is in the hands of the malva, it's invalid. Now keep in mind that when and under what conditions do the Yorshe HaMalva have to take this shvua, this three-part shvua? That's only in a case where the Yisomim said that they heard from their father, I'm sorry, where the Yisomim of the Lova heard from their father, Lovisi Uparati, that I had borrowed this money, but I already paid it up. That's when the Asmea Lova could force and demand of the Asmea Malva that they take a Shvua. But if the Lova, the Asmea Lova claim that we heard from our father that he never took this halva bichlal, in such a case, the Yorshe HaLova have no ability to force, to compel the Yorshe HaMalva to take a shvua, and that's based on the principle of Omer lo lavisi, komer lo parati. It's as if they had heard an admission, a hodas baldin from their father, their late father, that he never paid back the chov, because if he says he never borrowed the money, then certainly he never paid it back. Kol Omer lo lavisi ka Omer lo parati domi. Rav Safra, once again, we're going to utilize Rav Safra's answer. Shenimtza bein hashtaras hakruim. That why is it that in this case that the Yorshe HaMalva have to take the shvur that they didn't find the shovar. Had they found the shovar, then they could not collect the schov from the Yorshe Alova. That's because this shtar was found amongst the shtar's kruim, and that was Rav Safra's presentation, that even Rabbi Yirmiyahu would agree that the shovar is reliable in a case where it was put together with other shvuas, with other shtaros that were kruim. And as we explained in the previous shiur, because that indicates that the shovar is in fact reliable. Toshma, the Gemara asks a kash on Rabbi Yirmiyahu from a Tosefta at the beginning of Bab Metzia. Toshma, it says, Simpon sheyesh olav edim yiskayim bechosmav, that if the malva finds amongst his possessions a shovar and it has two edim signed on it, the malva is claiming that the loan was not paid back, is then yiskayim bechosmav, we can take this shtar and we could be mekayim it. And what does this mean, yiskayim bechosmav? The Gemara understands at this point in the Kasha that the intention of the Brice is to tell us that once the edim that signed on the shover, we can authenticate their signatures, then the shover becomes a kosher shover, a reliable shover. The malva cannot collect his chov from the lova. And this is against Rav Yirmiyahu, who says that we assume that when the shtar, the shover, is in the hands of the malva, it's possible. And the Gemara answers, Ema yiskayim mechosmav. Not bichosmav, but mechosmav. Meaning, we're going to be mekayim the shovar based on the testimony of the edim who are signed on it. And here we take a look on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Dishailinen lehu Lisaadi iparua ilopra. We're going to investigate these edim who are signed on the shofar and ask them if they can establish, they can testify to the fact that this chov was paid back or not. And in such a case, obviously, we have two edim testifying on behalf of the lova that indeed he paid up the chov. Forget about the shtar and its validity or lack thereof. Clearly, we can rely on the two aid, and that's not a problem for Rabbi Yirmiyahu. But the Gemara does have a kasha from an additional brice on Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Toshma simpon sheyesh olav edim kosher. If the malva finds amongst his possessions a shover that has the signatures of two edim, then the simpon, the shover, is reliable, it's kosher, and the malva should not be collecting his chov. And this is a direct, explicit contradiction to Rav Yirmiyahu, who says that a shovar in the hands of the malva is not reliable. The Gemara answers, my edim, what does it mean that this simpon, this shovar, has edim on it? Ede kium. What does this mean, ede kium? This means that the Bryce is talking about a case of ede kium, in other words, the shovar had already been brought in front of Beis Din. Two edim who were signed on the shovar, they came to Beis Din, they were subpoenaed, they testified that this indeed is their ksav yad. And Beis Din, based on their testimony and verification of their signatures and kiyum hashtar, they wrote a henpek on the shovar. So the Bryce is basically telling us that this shovar was brought into Beis Din for a kiyum. There's no reason in the world why the malva would have brought this shovar for a kiyum. That's not his headache. That headache is that of the lova. The lova needs to get, he needs to establish the veracity and the reliability of this shovar. He's going to take it into Beis Din in order to prove and establish for once and for all that he paid up this chov, and he's going to ask Beis Din to be mekayim the shtaros, the shtar shovar, and establish a henpek on the shtar. And once again, that's something that even Rabbi Yirmiyahu would be moda, that if this shtar has a henpek of Beis Din on it, then certainly it's a reliable shtar. Beis Din would not bother with the malva here. They're only bothering with the lova to be mekayim the shtar. Hachinam mistabra mikhtani seifa. If you take a look in the seifa, this very brice, it says the she'enol of edim posel, that if this shover doesn't have edim, it's posel. My, what does it mean? Enol of edim? Ilema deleka ilvaye Edom Klal, if there are no Edom signed in the Shovar, then Tzrichel and maybe the Puzzle. I mean, what value does the Shtar Raya have if there are no Edom signed in the Shtar? El Olav, it means there are Edom signed in the Shtar, but there's no Ede Kium. In other words, they didn't go through the process of being Mekayim the Shtar, there's no Henpik on the Shtar. In such a case, the Sefer of this Brisa says Puzzle, and that supports Rabbi Yirmiyah's position that a Shtar Shovar in the hands of the Malva is Puzzle. Gufa. Let's go back to the Braisa that we had earlier, back on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. There the Braisa was quoted as saying, Simpon, Sheyeshal of Edim, Yiskayim Bechosmov, which meant that if Bezdin was Mekayim the Chesimus on the Shtar, and they made a henpik on the Shtar, then certainly the Shovar is kosher, even though it's Yotze Mitachas Yad HaMalva. But im Einol of Edim, in other words, they weren't yet Makayim the Chasimos in Bezdin of this Shovar. V'yotze mitachas yidei shlish. What happens is the Shovar is in the hands of a third party. So you have Reuven the Malva, you have Shimon the Lova, and now you have Levi who's the shlish. The shlish is an objective bystander, and the Malva and the Lova agree that he can hold on to this Shtar. And that means they gave him their manus. He's reliable to both the Malva and the Lova to, when the time comes, to give over that shtar, that shovar, into the hands of the Lova. In the meantime, it's safely deposited in his possession. If and when the Lova pays up the chov, the shlish is authorized to transfer the shovar into the hands of the Lova. Oshi yotze liachar chisum shtaros. Kosher. Okay, we'll get back to this case in just a minute. Is the Gemara says Yotze mitachas yad yedei shlish? Why, in such a case, are we machsher the shovar, and it testifies on behalf of the lova that the piron in fact was implemented? Da'ahemne malva l'shlish. Once the malva agrees to give over the shtar shovar to the hands of the shlish, he, the malva, gives them manus, credibility and reliability to the shlish to testify that in fact this shovar is a true, genuine edus that testifies that the lova paid up the chov. So the fact that the malva handed over the shtar shovar to the hands of the shlish, and he wasn't choshesh that maybe the shlish would already transfer the shtar shovar over to the lova without or prior to piron, it means that he believes him. And therefore the shlish says that aval pishein shovar nimtza, even though the shovar is not in the hands of the malva, and it's not yet in the hands of the lova either, nevertheless it's true that there was a piron chov, and that's something that even Rabbi Yirmiyah would have to trust the shlish, because the malva himself trusted the shlish, and he, the shlish, will establish that there was a piron chov. That's what the brisa means here when it says yotze mitachas yidei shlish. Then there was a seif in the brisa. It says osha yotze li achar chisum shtaros nami. What happened was that on the very shtar milva itself, the shtar chov itself, they added the shovar. That too is reliable, says the Gemara. De lav de pare, if not for the fact that the shtar chov was already paid up by the lova, lo havi morale l'shtari, the malva would never have agreed, because he's holding on, he's the baal shtar holding on to the shtar milva, he wouldn't have agreed that they would add the shovar to the shtar itself. That's a reza, that's going to create a kilkel for his shtar. His shtar is not going to be reliable if it has a shovar written on it. In such a case, the shovar is reliable, and the malva will not be able to collect his chov, even according to Rav Yirmiyah. Hadron Alecha Shnayim Ochsin and Mirz Hashem. In the next shiur, we'll start Perek Eilu Metzius here on Daf Chaf Aleph Omer Aleph.